So I've been doing a great deal of open source work these last few weeks. And that's because Jordan and I are currently getting Laravel Mix version 6 ready to go and out the door. So of course, as part of this, there are many issues to go through and many PRs to review and potentially merge. And actually, as an aside, Mix has been sort of in an awkward position for much of this year, mostly because the Webpack team has been hard at work on version 5. And this is a big release with lots of changes, lots of improvements, but most importantly, lots to learn. So to me, it felt somewhat wasteful to spend too much effort on Mix if it was all going to change as soon as Webpack 5 was released. But yeah, now at this point, Webpack 5 is very close. So as a result, we've been hard at work getting Mix ready to go along with it. But anyways, as I was working through these issues and PRs, very quickly it becomes clear which ones bubble up to the top and which ones kind of get ignored. And actually, on that note, if you don't like the idea of your issue or your PR getting ignored, just keep in mind, we're all doing this for free. Nobody is obligated to respond to anyone. We do what we can when we can. That's the arrangement. That's the deal. But yeah, as I was going through them, there are some patterns that lead to certain issues being handled and certain PRs being merged. And there's also a pattern for the opposite. I'll give you some examples to keep in mind. So if you already work on open source code, I think you'll identify with most of these. But if you don't, if you're more of a user, which is fine, just keep this in mind for the next time you report a problem or submit a bug fix. Okay, so first, the most generic but surprisingly typical issue I see is when folks say, hey, the thing doesn't work. So here's the deal. That's not overly useful. Just think about anything you build. Your application, your service, whatever. If I tweeted you and I said, "Hey, it doesn't work," what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do with that information? So you have to get back to them. What OS are you on? What's your entry code look like? What's your script? What specifically are you seeing? Is there an error? Is there a failure? Does nothing happen? Give me more information. I can't tell you how many times I've written that very sentence. Please provide more information. And by the way, if that annoys you, if you're thinking, look, you should be happy that I'm even letting you know it doesn't work, fine, fair enough, but just keep in mind, once again, I can't do anything without knowing more. Okay, so that's number one. The number two glaring issue I see is an entitlement when people create an issue. Sometimes it'll take the form of kind of a snarkiness or a sarcastic tone, that they're almost offended that it didn't work the way they thought it would, and you need to fix this right away. Once again, this is open source code. As it turns out, you have as much responsibility for fixing the bug as I do. That's the entire arrangement here. So when you file an issue that takes on that tone, what do you think the end result's gonna be? Will they be more likely to fix the bug because you were sarcastic with them? No. They're probably going to close the issue, or maybe more likely, just ignore it in favor of more pressing concerns. So just remember, it sucks when a tool doesn't work the way it should, but this is all free labor here. Okay, number three, too long of a description. So here's something to keep in mind, especially for larger projects. If the maintainers have potentially hundreds of issues to go through, when they get to your issue and you have written a novel, they then have to take time out of their day to parse that and read it. And it could take them, 10 minutes to go through it and understand what it is you're saying there. And to tell you the truth, as a maintainer, often you're just not up for it. And usually in those cases, I move on to something else. It's almost like you're looking for the low-hanging fruit. It's not like your issue isn't important and doesn't need to be addressed, but it requires a lot of energy to go through that whole thing. Now, of course, that's not to say that your issue should be a single sentence. No, it needs to be specific, but often people get a little bit wordy, a little bit long in the tooth, and it's a lot to go through. Now, along those lines, we'll call this 3B. Another glaring issue I see is when developers do include source code with their issue, which is good, but they include so much of it that, again, I can't act upon it. There's nothing to do here. I can quickly scan it for a syntax issue or something very noticeable, but other than that, I can't use that code to reproduce the bug because it's entirely dependent upon your product, right? So always, when you encounter an issue, try to narrow it down. Break that example down to the smallest set of reproducible steps. So in the case of Laravel Mix, I don't want to see your 800-line long mix file. Instead, tell me, if you create a brand new app and you use this webpack.mix.js file, if you compile, it doesn't work. That is something I can use. And we'll talk about that more in just a minute. So number four, this one is optional, but it does almost guarantee that your issue or your PR will jump to the top of the list. If you include a regression test, and that's just a test that reproduces the bug. If you have some programmatic way to show me when you do this, this, and that, then the code breaks. That, again, is something I can use. And you don't even have to fix the problem. Just giving me that test tells me what the next step is. It gives me a starting point. So contrast that to the first example, where somebody creates an issue and says, with no source code, no example, no version numbers, hey, this doesn't work. Contrast that with somebody who says, hey, when I did this, the code broke. I've attached a test that reproduces the error. Please let me know if you need any more details. When you compare those two, which one do you think jumps to the top of the list? Obviously. And actually, on that note, if nothing more, the inclusion of a test proves to me that there's an actual bug. Because you might be surprised, but often what people think is a bug is actually user error. Not always, but often, maybe 30% of the time, that will be the case. For example, in the context of Laravel Mix, sometimes we'll get issues that say, hey, your tool doesn't work, fix it. And then after going back and forth, usually with us asking them, well, what version of Mix do you have installed? What's your node version? What version of NPM are you working with? All of those. Usually at that point, we will realize, oh, you're on an ancient version of Node that hasn't been supported in years. Upgrade your Node version and you're good to go. And it's okay, mistakes happen, but think how much time that wastes for everyone. So when you do include that test, again, it is proof to me that there is a problem with the tool that needs to be fixed. Okay, moving on. What are we? Number five? Who cares? If you can't write the test, and that's fine. Sometimes you're using a tool that you're not familiar with the language being used. You don't know the test framework. You're not comfortable enough without spending hours and hours and hours to create that test, which is fine. The next best thing, as we talked about a few minutes ago, is reproducible steps. If you can't write a test, narrow it down to a fresh install of the tool, and then tell me, if you do this, and then you do this, you see an error. Those are reproducible steps that anyone can evaluate. And making it as simple as possible is really important, because often, those reproducible steps are the very steps I will use to write the regression test myself. Again, using Laravel Mix as an example, we recently had a bug related to file concatenation. It looked like in certain cases, if you provided, first, there's a mix.scripts command that concatenates some files and minifies it for production. But yeah, we should support wildcard searches. So if you provided an array of file paths, but some of those paths at the end had something like star.js. Well, that would mean give me all the files in this directory with a JS extension and concatenate those. That's something we should support, and it looks like it just fell through the cracks. So someone in the issue gave me reproducible steps. I tested it out in a brand new application. I confirmed it. So those steps then became the regression test. If I try to concatenate an array of wildcards, I should then see this output file that contains the contents of each of those files that were concatenated. And sure enough, I ran the test and it failed. So I knew the next step. Okay, so finally, number six, seven, I don't know. If you're not creating an issue, but you are submitting a PR, great. But one little tip, please keep the PR targeted at the problem. So sometimes what happens is people will submit PRs, but along the way, they do a bunch of other stuff. They kind of Boy Scout while they're making that PR. Boy Scouting is very good, but not as desirable for a PR. Because from my point of view, you're fixing a bug, but now I have to go through all these other files where you fixed the indentation or a doc block or something else. And again, it's more for me to take in where I'm just trying to figure out, okay, what specifically did you change? What was the before that was breaking the code? And what is the solution? And the more you Boy Scout as part of that PR, the harder it is for me. So keep your PRs laser focused on the problem. And then if you want, you can submit another PR that is laser focused on fixing the indentation issues. That's fine too, but keep those as separate PRs when you can. It's not always a deal breaker, but often I think I and many maintainers would prefer change as little as possible to fix the problem.